Welcome to Searching the Scriptures. I'm Jerry Dennison, one of the ministers of the Pine Top Church of Christ. I encourage you to open your Bible and to search the Scripture with me to see whether or not the things we teach are true. Acts chapter 17, verse 11, commends the Jews of Berea for searching the Scriptures to see whether or not the things taught by the Apostle Paul were true. That should be our attitude also. If you have questions or comments regarding anything that we teach, we would like the opportunity to study the Bible with you. You may email us at pinetopchurchofchrist@gmail.com. Visit our website, www.pinetopcoc.org, or like us on Facebook. Our desire and intent is to speak where the Bible speaks and to be silent where the Bible is silent, that we may indeed speak as the oracles of God. We invite you to the services of the Pine Top Church of Christ, 1102 Pine Top Road, Russell Springs, Kentucky, in the Windsor community of Russell County. We have Bible class beginning at 9 o'clock Central Time, followed by our worship service at 9:45, then meet again at 4:30 Sunday evening. Today, let's search the Scripture to see what the Holy Spirit revealed about gambling. Gambling is everywhere. At the gas station, at the grocery store, even from our homes by way of internet. Gambling is socially accepted, but does that mean that God approves? Some would tell us that the Bible doesn't mention gambling, so God wouldn't disapprove. While the word gamble is not found in the Bible, does that mean that God has not set forth principles that gambling would violate? First, let's look at what is meant by gambling. Webster's definition is to play games of chance for money or some other stake, to take a risk in order to gain some advantage, to be wager an act of undertaking involving risk of a loss. This definition is too broad, as it includes all risk-taking. Often someone will try to justify gambling with the definition by saying, life is a gamble, or you can gamble every time you go anywhere because you could be hit, or any investment is a gamble since you could lose. A better definition is getting something for nothing without rendering service or exchange of goods. Gambling necessitates that some lose while others win. That does not describe the risk taken by going somewhere or even investing in a company or stock. When an investment is made, the objective is for that company to be successful so that it will win. A simple definition of gambling would be desiring the possessions of another, which is the prize, where the gambler creates a risk of losing his own possession in an attempt through chance to gain that other person's possession with nothing given in exchange. Gambling takes many forms: lotteries, card games, dice, numbers, betting, slot machines, sports pools, punch boards, and bingo for money and prizes, raffle tickets, matching, tournaments where an entry fee is charged and a prize is won, and even the pitching of pennies. One may hear someone try to justify playing the lottery saying, it's only $2. You spend that on soft drinks or coffee, and I enjoy it. Gambling is a matter of kind, not degree. Whether the wager is 50 cents or $50, it's still gambling. There may be many reasons why people gamble. Some of them are a desire to gain wealth quickly. People get impatient with getting ahead through regular work and seek a get-rich-quick scheme. Others may have a desire for excitement and the risk, suspense, hope, and shock of surprises entertains those people. Gambling is basically driven by covetous, laziness, recklessness. Gambling is also addictive. There are millions of compulsive gamblers in our country, many of whom are teenagers. Why is gambling wrong? God has commanded man to work for his living. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God told Adam, In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and into dust thou shalt return. Then Paul told the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 28, let no man that soul steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Paul also told the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11, that you study to be quiet, to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you. Gamblers are seeking to win without earning through sheer chance. The New International Version states in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 11, that those who work their land will have abundant food, but those who chase fantasies have no sense. Gambling is definitely a fantasy. Gambling is a poor investment. According to TheBalance.com, the odds of winning the Powerball is roughly 1 in 292.2 million, and of winning Mega Millions is 1 in 302.6 million. If you look at the Kentucky Lottery website at the return on investment for their games, they are all in the negative. Would you put your money in a bank savings account which paid a negative interest rate or charged you to use your money? Gambling is associated with sin. Gambling is one of the things that governments like to tax with a tax known as the sin tax. Merriam-Webster defines a sin tax as a tax on substances or activities considered sinful or harmful, such as tobacco, alcohol, or gambling. When a society legalizes or decriminalizes something, it is giving it a stamp of approval. A certain number of young and unborn will participate who would otherwise abstain if it remained illegal. Gambling violates the golden rule. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A gambler seeks for others to lose while he wins. Just because others are willing partners does not make it right. This is covetous. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, we read, and he said to them, take heed and beware of covetous. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 7, that the fornication, uncleanness, covetous, was people participating in those would not inherit the kingdom of God. And he admonished them not to be partakers with them, and that these things brought the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Gambling creates a false hope. The gambler hopes to win, perhaps this next time. Even the promoters of gambling recognize how addictive it is. How many times have you heard, play responsibly, remember it's only a game? Both those who win and lose are victims of addiction. I read an article titled, How to Win the Lottery by David Olson, with the subtitle, True Story for Anyone's Gambling Lesson. David wrote, there was a man at the Texas City Church of Christ named Marlon Ridenour, who works for the city of Galveston and oversees the water department. The year the Texas State Lottery commenced in 1991, one of the employees wrote on a whiteboard a little table tracking lottery winnings of employees. Any employee could put their name on the board and track to see who won the most money. Six people signed up and tracked how many tickets they had bought. When they won, they added money. When they lost, they subtracted the cost of the ticket. Marlon put his name up there too. He bought zero tickets and made $0 and lost $0. After about 10 months of tracking, he won with $0. Finally, a guy who was in the negative for about $400 erased the whole board in disgust. How is gambling justified? You often hear that gambling is harmless, but the Missouri Department of Mental Health has published some statistics. The average compulsive gambler entering to treatment owes between $53,000 and $92,000. The problem of compulsive gambling is a factor in crime, suicide, spousal and child abuse, substance abuse, and addictions. And the National Council of Problem Gamblers says compulsive gamblers annually cost American businesses $40 billion in lost wages and insurance claims. A third of all prison inmates are considered compulsive gambling. One in five compulsive gamblers attempt suicide. Spouses of compulsive gamblers are three times more likely to commit suicide than the general population. One in four compulsive gamblers is involved in a traffic accident on their way to gamble, and half admit that they regularly speed on the way to gamble. Children of compulsive gamblers attempt suicide twice as often as their classmates, do worse in school, and are more likely to have substance abuse problems. Henry Lesner, former chairman of the Criminal Justice Department at Illinois State University, has stated, "Access to gambling is a critical issue for problem gamblers. Crimes, I'm 100% convinced that they would not have engaged in those crimes if gambling were not legal." Another argument that is often made is good can come from it. This is how gambling is brought in, saying it will fund our schools, or some charitable organization is supposed to get a portion of the proceeds or generate needed revenue for the government. Doesn't that remind you of the way King Saul tried to justify his sin in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 15? After Samuel had confronted him for not obeying the command of God to utterly destroy the Amalekites, Paul said, "They have brought them from Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest they have utterly destroyed." God didn't accept his justification. Verses 22 and 23 tells us, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is of iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Good doesn't come from wrong. The National Council of Problem Gambling states that gambling is not a victimless addiction. Not only does the problem gambling cause serious problems in the family members of the addicted individual, overall problem gambling costs the economy $17 billion each year. When the cost to society is considered, is the generated revenue worth the cost? Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." With God, there are no big sins and little sins. Sin is sin. Let's search the scripture daily. Study the context. Consider all the inspired writer said and rightly divide the word of truth. In so doing, I think that you will come to the conclusion that there is a God, that he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, who gave himself to provide atonement for our sins, that the Bible is his holy word, and that we will face this God on the day of judgment. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Then in verse 21, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Then in verse 24, Jesus said, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me." We show our love for Jesus not by saying how much we love him, but by obeying what he has commanded. His commands are the commands of the Father. Therefore, we need to know what his commandments are so that we can keep them and thus be ready to stand before Him to give an account of our life. Thank you for being part of this study. Until next Sunday at 7:15, have a blessed week.